What's up, guys? Bob Buskirk here at Think Computers. We're on episode 11 of our weekly tech podcast. This is kind of where we talk about what we did the previous week on the site, what reviews we did, all the tech news we covered. It just gives us a kind of a reason to kind of geek out and talk about everything tech. As always, I have Derek on the line with me. What's going on with you, Derek?
Not much, Bob. What's going on?
Nothing much. We do want to say this podcast is coming out on Sunday instead of Friday because we actually originally recorded it on Friday, but that recording got messed up because of me. I'll take full responsibility for it. So we'll just say that I messed it up. So we're re-recording. We're going to try to make it as interesting as possible. We kind of already talked about this stuff on Friday, but
yeah, just to be clear, Friday was an epic podcast.
Yeah, we kicked this ass on Friday, but we had to redo it again for you guys, so we had a podcast this week. And there's a lot of really awesome tech news this week, so we definitely wanted to cover all of that and not miss out for you guys. So we're going to jump right into our reviews this week, and the first review was a case from Zalman. So if a lot of you guys didn't know that Zalman almost went under this past year, that we covered that way back, but they're still making cases and coolers and everything like that, kind of on the slower side, but they're still doing it. So we took a look at their Zalman Z11 Neo, which the Z11 line has been out for a few years now. They've kept the same look. They've changed a little bit. I like the way this case really looks, but internally it's still a little bit behind, I feel. But it's a $75 case, so maybe like a couple years ago this would have been like $130, $140. Yeah. But it's a $75 case, and you're not going to get a much better looking case for this price, I don't think.
No, I don't think you're going to get all the functionality at this price either.
Yeah, so if you're looking for, you know, sub $100 case, this is going to be a great, you know, just a great choice. There are a lot of great choices at that price, but this is a really good one. It's going to look great. It's one of those cases that you can take to a LAN party, and people are definitely going to notice it. It has a smaller window. It kind of looks like a jet engine in the front, I guess.
Yeah, it's got some intakes on the side. I like the brushed aluminum look on the front.
Yeah, so it has a really good look. I believe you didn't, not you, Derek, but our other Derek, our case guy, reviewed it, and I believe he gave it a 9 out of 10. Yeah, he gave it a 9 out of 10. Again, it does look really good. It's an overall a really good case. So if you're looking for something in that price range, this is a great case to go ahead and consider. Obviously, you know, check out the review on our site to see what we thought about it. It is just a good case. So we will move on to our second review, which you, Derek, did. And it is the Corsair H100i GTX liquid CPU cooler. Of course, I'll let you talk about it. I know you like Corsair coolers, so.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Corsair is one of those. It's like the AIO cooler company, really. I mean, there were others at the time when they started, but they were like one of the first, and they were one of the ones that like really like threw themselves into this. And I think they're probably one of the biggest reasons why they're such a popular option right now, aside from the fact that they work really well. What I looked at, like you said, was the H100i GTX this week, which is a 240mm radiator cooler. It's a pretty thin radiator, kind of standard. One of the things I really like that they're doing right now, though, is they've got these silver accents that they're putting on both the pump and the radiator on the side. And we're used to seeing, like, these just, you know, kind of flat black coolers, but it really kind of spruces it up, makes it look unique, and I like that touch to it. And then they've also gone ahead and put on like much bigger tubing, and then they've sleeved it, which looks like phenomenal. It's like 100 times better than all the just the plain black tubing that we've seen, or some of the accordion style tubing especially.
Yeah, now the larger tubing, that obviously helps with the water flow, right?
Yeah, as long as the inner diameter is also larger, which we don't have any specifications on, but it should help with the flow. And I don't know why they would go to a larger tubing without doing that, because the larger tubing does take up more space and it's probably more expensive. So gotcha. It should increase the flow. We've got a new pump design on this too. It's the first time we've seen this pump design. The tubing actually goes straight into the top of the pump housing, and it's like got some swivel fittings in there. Unfortunately, what it doesn't do is it doesn't rotate like horizontally, so you can't it's not as easily installed, and the tubing is harder to like maneuver around because it doesn't like lay flat with the pump. So that was one downside. But as far as performance goes, this is our third best performing AIO, which is pretty good. It's just a couple of degrees warmer than the H110i GT, which is our best performing cooler that we've tested at ThinkComputers. So it's pretty impressive cooler. They're incredibly easy to install. I mean, I would say these are easier than most air coolers to install.
Yeah, I feel that way too, because I've reviewed some air coolers that just are not easy to install at all.
Yeah, just a hassle.
And then, you only get so much performance. Do you think that, like Corsair and a lot of these companies who are doing the AIOs, they make the radiators thinner to be able to fit in more systems?
It could be that. I would guess that it's just because that's the standard. And
yeah.
They just kind of, there are some thicker ones, and they do perform better, but it's just like this is how thick an AIO radiator cooler or radiator is, and that's just kind of how it is, it seems to be.
Gotcha. Well, definitely go over to the site and check out that review. Derek always does great all-in-one liquid cooling reviews. That's kind of what he covers on the site for us, so definitely go ahead and check that out. And we'll move on to the two reviews that I did this week. First, we'll start with the Fluence FI30 Bluetooth speaker system. And Fluence isn't a name that you may not know if you're kind of into the PC industry. They really don't make a lot of PC-centric products. They more or less make like home theater systems and big speaker systems. So they are more or less an audio company. That's kind of what they're known for. But they come out with the FI30, which is an Bluetooth speaker. It's the company's only Bluetooth, all Bluetooth speaker. And it's not your typical Bluetooth speaker. So the ones that we've really been reviewing are the smaller ones that are portable, that have the rechargeable battery. This is much larger. It's made to, it gets its power from the wall. So it's not something you can take with you. It's something that's supposed to, made to be stationary. But the thing that really surprised me about it was the audio quality. It just sounds great. It's the best sounding Bluetooth speaker that I've heard in a very long time. On top of that, it looks really great as well. So we received the piano black version. It also comes in a white version and then sort of a bamboo version as well. So it just sounds really great. I can't stress that enough, that this is one of the best sounding
more of an audiophile product.
Yeah, it's more of a higher end. It's made to fill very large rooms. And one thing that's really cool about it is the actual cabinet is made of wood, which a lot of times you don't see in Bluetooth speakers. And then on top of that, it's the MDF quality audiophile type wood. So, when you turn this thing up all the way, it doesn't kind of bounce around or anything like that some speakers do. And all the levels sound really, really great on it. And again, it's Bluetooth, so it works with any Bluetooth device, which is pretty much anything out there on both the, Apple and Android side of things. And then, of course, any PC as well that has Bluetooth can easily work with this.
Right. Does it have – it doesn't look like it. Does it have any controls built onto the speaker itself?
No. So there's no controls on the speaker, which some people like, some people don't. Since this is more of a stationary type device, I don't see it as being that bad. But sometimes you're right next to it and maybe your phone's in the other room and you want to turn it up or down. You don't have that, but again, you do that, you have that all on your device. So it's not a huge deal, but it's something that they could have added. But if they added it to the top or the front, it would have kind of made it takes away from like the sleekness of the device, I think.
If they were to do it properly, it'd probably add to the cost quite a bit.
Yeah, that as well. One thing that's cool about it does have a USB port on the back, so that allows you to plug in your device and charge it. All of these Bluetooth devices are typically mobile devices, so if you're playing music, obviously that is killing your battery, so this allows you to kind of plug those in and be charging while you're listening to music at the same time.
Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, it works really well. Bluetooth, you just plug it in and it comes up and you just select it under your Bluetooth devices and it just sounds, like I said, I can't, the price point is $150, which people may think is kind of expensive for a Bluetooth speaker. But again, if this thing is big, it's not a small portable one. And
it's more like a boombox.
Yeah, it's very, very big. And the thing that I want to point out is there are some portable Bluetooth speakers that don't sound nearly as well as this that cost around the same price.
Right.
So if you're not looking for something to take take from room to room, and something you're looking for something that's more stationary, maybe for like a common room or, you know, game room or something like that.
Or business.
Yeah, or even for a business, or, you know, where it's going to be stationary and you want really good sound, this is the device. And again, you can't really go wrong with $150 price point for the sound. It's just that good of a speaker. So definitely check that out. And the final review, it's another CPU cooler, but this is an Air CPU cooler. It is the Sith Ashura. And one thing I really pointed out in this review is that, you know, when it comes to air coolers, I typically look for two things, maybe three, but the big two are performance and ease of installation, and this has them both. Nice. This cooler is extremely easy to install, one of the easiest installs I've done in a while. It kind of blows my mind sometimes when I get these air coolers in and they're just such a pain to install, because it's not, you know, while most people may only be doing this once, you still don't want to make the customer or the user have, you know, want to throw the cooler through the wall because it's so hard to install. So this cooler is extremely easy to install. It took maybe 5 minutes. Very easy to follow directions. And then on top of that, it had really, really great performance. One of the top air coolers that I've reviewed lately. It has the same performance as a lot of coolers that have dual fans or are much larger. This is a not necessarily a smaller CPU cooler. It's a tower cooler, but it doesn't have any clearance issues or anything like that as well. Just an overall great performing cooler. I can't really say anything bad about it.
What price does it come in at?
I think it's $54, so it's right around that, you know, sort of high performance air cooler, because usually the ones that aren't as great as performance are around 35 to 45.
Yeah.
This is, I think it's between 50 to 55 range. Okay. So
right in the mid-level performance range.
Yeah, but the performance is, at least in our testing, has been in the higher. So this performs as good as maybe some like $70 air coolers.
And it's much easier to handle.
Yeah, it's very easy to install and everything like that. And Sith isn't a company that's really thought of for these high performance. You know, they make a lot of lower end coolers, but this one performs better. You know, this one performed great for us. If you're definitely looking for an air cooler, this is one that I would definitely recommend. Again, for ease of use too, not even just performance, you know, because again, air coolers can be kind of tricky to install, and this one is extremely easy.
What was the noise like?
It's not noisy at all. It uses a 140 millimeter fan. It's a thinner fan as well, to help with clearance. And PWM fan, it's not loud at all. It doesn't, you know, some of the air coolers can sound like a jet engine taking off, and this is not like that at all. So, yeah, overall, great cooler. Can't say anything wrong about it at all. So that kind of wraps up our reviews for this week. And then we're going to move on to our Case Mod Friday, which I'm actually quite excited for this one, because this is a project that I've been following for a while. Case Mod Friday is a section of the site where we cover a case mod or a build that's been finished in the community. And I love case modding. I know you do as well, Derek. And it's really cool. So we definitely like featuring these builds. And this one is called Gold Wings. And again, like I said, I've been following this build for a while because it just looks awesome. It's by Sneth, who is kind of one of the really well-known modders these days.
Top three, I would say.
Yeah, one of the top modders. And one thing I really liked about this build is that it was built in the new EK cases, the EK Vulture, which I believe is a limited edition case. EK, of course, is known for their water blocks, so they make CPU, GPU blocks. And they've come out with this case, and this case really allows you to showcase all of your hardware.
It's got a gorgeous front window on it that wraps around the top of it. It's kind of a really unique design. I don't think I've ever seen a factory case with a window that curves like that, which it really shows off the entire build inside it. It's reverse ATX, so you're gonna see the working part of your water block on your GPU, which is the acrylic side, which looks better every single time, no matter how you put the build together. So that's great. And then it's just sleek and elegant looking, I would say. There's nothing to distract you, so it's up to the builder to make it really pop. It's a really nice case. Slot drive on the front, which is really nice. Doesn't take up space, but you can still have that. USB 3.0, it's just a nice looking case.
Yeah, and that's just the case. We're not even talking about the build. Yeah.
And then.
Yeah, so what Sneff did is that he kind of went with a, it's called Gold Wings, so he kind of went with a white and gold design, sort of ancient Egyptian themed. But one thing that I really wanted to point out that you may not notice, or you can kind of notice it, but you kind of just think that he might have painted certain things, that many of the components were actually sent out and they were gold plated. So it's real gold in there. And I, you know, from things that are painted gold or something like that, that to real gold,
like a gold spray paint.
Yeah. You can tell the difference. Really makes everything pop in this build. I believe the RAM block, CPU block, some of the angle fittings and
GPU block,
they are all gold plated and it just makes it look really great. We see a lot of gold builds. This one kind of just, I don't know. I guess the colors just make it look different from everything else.
Yeah. A lot of times you see like gold and black, but, and I mean, we see gold and white, but this, it's just a really good build. And I don't think I've ever seen anyone actually gold plate things, so this is definitely better in that respect.
Yeah, it just looks really great. And since it's ancient Egyptian theme, he put hieroglyphs in gold down the radiator. He kind of wrapped the res in a kind of like a ancient Egyptian theme type thing, and that's in gold. The SSDs have a vinyl sticker that's all hieroglyphs, and then the top side of the GPU, or the what do you call it, the GPU
cover,
yeah, the top cover of the GPU actually has some hieroglyphs and some cool stuff on it as well. It's what I think this is one of the most sleek builds I've seen in a long time.
And for doing an ancient Egyptian theme, it's like, it's really good because you can screw that up pretty easily.
Yeah, you can make it kind of look kind of cheesy and kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm.
This looks, it's just so sleek and so nice. And like I said, I typically don't follow a lot of builds. You know, as soon as he started showing pictures of this, you know, pictures of the progress, I was always checking back on it, see when it was done. And it just got finished not that long ago. That's why it's up on the site.
Yeah.
And you know, he's even done some cool things, like he sleeved the actual power cable to the system and painted the ends, and it's just like attention to detail that a lot of modders don't really do that he's really done on this case.
He didn't skip any single part.
So it looks great all around, and we, you know, if there's one thing you check out on the site this week, it should be this is just a really great build, and you know, it's just really, really awesome. Can't really say I can't say anything bad about this. The colors are great, the, you know, everything is nice and clean.
This is a build I'd actually buy.
Yeah, like if they could offer this, and I would definitely display this in my house because it just looks that great. But we'll move on to tech news, and there's been a lot of news this week, tons of stuff. So we'll start out with Rockstar and GTA 5. So there's been a lot of mods to GTA 5. Of course, with a PC game that allows mods...
This is what you do.
Yeah, you know, that's, we talked about City Skylines and their, you know, all the things in the workshop and how you can add on to the game, and that what makes the game fun and it makes it better. And there's actually a lot of GTA 5 mods that are just made for that. They're made to make the game look better.
Just visually.
Yeah,
more appealing.
Yeah, but then there's a lot of mods that are kind of like hacks and cheats and things like that. So initially, Rockstar just started banning everybody that was using mods, whether it was single player or multiplayer. And that was a huge deal to a lot of people because you're paying money for this game. And even if you're playing in single player mode, you would get banned and then you weren't able to play the game for 2 weeks. So a lot of gamers and angry people went over to their Steam page and wrote negative reviews. And it's up to a lot by now. For negative reviews. So that was our initial story. And again, it's good for Rockstar to do this because nobody wants to go online and be playing online and then have somebody who's, you know, more or less has like God mode and can shoot cars at you instead of bullets. So a lot of people are upset, and I don't think it's a great thing to just ban everybody. So they've kind of went back and they issued a statement on their blog saying that we're not going to ban you now. We're not going to ban you for using mods in single player mode. only in GTA 5 online. So that I think that's much better than just banning everybody.
Yeah, that's the correct approach. The real question, did they go back and reinstate the players that were banned before on single player?
I'm not exactly sure. I know that ban lasts 2 weeks, so it's not like a lifetime ban.
It's not.
Yeah, so that bans were 2 weeks. So I don't know if they're just going to let them expire or what they've done. Probably. Or maybe if they reset all of the bans. I don't know exactly what they did. But the kind of thing is that if you're going to use mods, don't do it online because you're going to get banned. It's just like anything. It's just like in any of, you know, competitive esports, if you're going to use a hack or you're going to use some type of cheat, you're going to get caught in it, you know. You're going to get banned.
Yeah, I mean, this is obvious. You shouldn't do it.
Yeah, but for single-player mode, to have a lot of fun in the game, and GTA 5 is one of those games, it's a free-roaming game, so if you want to have a lot of fun, again, shooting cars instead of bullets, do that in single-player mode, have your fun, and then when it comes to online, be fair and play with the rules of the actual game.
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of sad that you can't use certain mods that make the game look more visually appealing.
Yeah, it doesn't affect the gameplay.
Yeah, in multiplayer mode, but there's really no way to police the cheats and everything like that, you know.
Yeah, other than being really, really active with it, which is really, really expensive for EA.
Yeah.
Rockstar.
Yeah, so... but I think that they've kind of rectified the situation a little bit. You know, and...
Yeah.
I think that
it's as good as you're gonna get.
Yeah, that's the best thing that they can really do to try to make everybody happy. Obviously, you're not gonna please everyone, but it's good that the original bans and everything like that have, you know, they've kind of rectified the situation a little bit. So, you know, if you're a GTA 5 player, just don't play with mods online and you'll be fine.
Cool.
We'll move on to Intel, and this week they started shipping their Core i5 and Core i7 Broadwell desktop CPUs. So Broadwell's been out for a while now. We've seen it in a lot of laptops and a lot of mobile stuff, but a desktop processor hasn't come out. Just there's been massive delays and everything like that, and these aren't offering that much of a performance increase really. But they've started, you know, selling the Core i5 5675C and the Core i7 5775C, and these are, of course, the desktop versions. I would say to wait for Skylake if you're looking to get one of these. You're not going to see much performance. They have lower TDPs as well.
That's about it. Are they even unlocked?
They are unlocked. They are unlocked, and the biggest thing with this is that they have the Iris Pro 6200 graphics. So since it's unlocked, you can technically overclock that.
If you have to buy now and you want low power consumption and onboard video, it might be something.
Yeah, different. And these will work with the H97Z97 chipset motherboard, so it's not like you have to go buy a new motherboard.
Right.
You know, but with this story, the desktop platform roadmap for Intel was kind of leaked. And it shows that we will see Skylake in Q3 of this year, which is kind of exciting because, of course, that means that we're going to see a ton of new motherboards and, of course, the performance increase of Skylake, which Skylake is the actual true successor to Haswell. Broadwell is not.
Yes.
So, again, if you're looking to upgrade, I would say wait for Skylake and not don't get Broadwell unless you're in need of a new processor, and you might as well just get Broadwell.
I'm on the Skylake bandwagon myself, so looking forward to this.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. We'll move on to NVIDIA, and no real big graphics card new this week from them, but we do have their, a lot of times when you buy a graphics card, you get a free game or something like that.
It's kind of this... Well, not the standard, but it happens a lot now.
Yeah, so both on the NVIDIA and AMD side, they offer game packages when you buy a certain graphics card. So NVIDIA is going to be announcing their GeForce bundle, or GTX bundle, whatever you want to call it. And they have been talking about it for a while. It was known that they were going to be giving the new Witcher game, Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. They were gonna be giving out that, which is, of course, is already a AAA title, a $50 game in its own right. But now they're going to be adding the new Batman game, Batman Arkham Knight, which again is another $50 game.
Another AAA title.
Yeah, AAA title. So two AAA titles with the purchase of any GTX 970 or GTX 980. So that is pretty cool. So you're getting basically $100 on top of your graphics card that you're obviously getting. So
Right.
yeah, it's a
Good
good. Yeah,
value.
I think that a lot of times we see, maybe you'll get one decent game and then a bunch of, maybe three crappy games. I think that Nvidia's done the right thing and kind of said, you're getting two really awesome games with this.
Yeah, two games you might actually
Yeah,
want
two
to.
games you might actually want to play.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that, because even in a lot of the other bundles, a lot of the games weren't even any game that you wanted to play. So these are actually, again, two AAA titles that are, yeah.
Yeah, good. They should be good games.
Yeah, they should be, overall good games. And of course, these are built on NVIDIA GameWorks as well, so they're gonna play probably best on NVIDIA hardware.
Right, which is something that happens every once in a while.
Yeah, so it's,
Some games.
yeah. So again, if you're looking to get a NVIDIA GTX 970 or 980, or if you have already purchased one, you'll be able to go ahead and get this package. So it's pretty cool.
It's a good deal.
Yeah. So we'll move on from there to a really funny story, one that we definitely had to cover. So with Windows 10, they will be having emoji packs, sort of like you have on Android or iOS. But one thing that Microsoft has done is they have included the middle finger emoji, so you can
Woohoo.
really tell people how you feel about them. It's kind of funny that they've done that, because the actual middle finger emoji has been part of the Unicode since last year, I think.
Yeah,
And
nobody wanted to include it, though.
yeah, both Google and Apple decided they didn't want to include it. But looks like Microsoft has gone ahead and they're saying we're gonna include it, and you can flip people off. So it's
Right
at,
on.
yeah, it's actually kind of funny that they've done that. So yeah,
And we should see this from the other platforms now, too, since Microsoft went ahead and
yeah, I
took the
think
first step and
Microsoft kind of had the
included it.
balls to do it, and
Yeah.
now because Microsoft has it, you're gonna see it being included in Android as well as iOS and Mac OS X. It just makes sense.
Yeah. They'll have to, pretty much.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that Microsoft went ahead and did this though. Because it's not something they typically had to do, but it got a lot of coverage. Everybody was talking about it.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of funny.
It's interesting where like what Microsoft is doing. It's kind of like they're backed into a corner a little bit because their products haven't been great lately. And with Windows 10, they're just like they're going for everything, it seems like.
Yeah, it kind of seems like Windows 10 is like they have to come out with a good product, right?
Yeah,
They have to
it's
come
like make
out.
or break, so they're just doing everything with
Yeah,
it.
they have to come out with a product. It's kind of like how we went from Vista to Windows 7. Because, like,
Yeah.
Vista was pure crap. And then with Windows 7, they fixed everything that was wrong with Vista. So, like, with Windows 10, not only, I think they have an even better feel on it, they completely reimagined the operating system and were adding a lot of cool things. But they're gonna fix everything that everybody hated about 8. That's
Yeah.
kind of like the only way to do it. You need customer feedback, and it seems like they're really listening to their customers as well.
Yeah. It's just I wish they could do that the first time around, 'cause it's not like when they release it, it's the first time it's in the hands of a consumer.
Yeah.
They really need to listen to their testers more, but
Yeah.
at least we're now finally getting a good product.
Yeah, for sure.
Or it looks like it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for it. I know when it comes out, I'm definitely going to be installing it and doing all that. And,
Yeah.
definitely, it seems like it's just a much more fluid operating system than Windows 8. So,
Yeah.
yeah. So we'll move on to some graphics card news. Typically, we don't cover releases of anything on the podcast because it's just like, oh, somebody come out with a new graphics card. We
Yeah.
see a ton of those. We obviously cover those on the site, but not usually the podcast because nothing's really that interesting. But I felt this card is extremely interesting. It is the KFA2 GeForce GTX 980 8-pack edition. 8-pack is the KFA2's kind of their in-house professional overclocker.
Right.
And KFA2, if you don't know, is sort of like the Galaxy of Europe. So it's the same, more or less the same company, but they call themselves KFA2 in Europe, and it's part of the Hall of Fame line. But one thing that's really great about this graphics card, it's the one of the highest overclocked GTX 980s out of the box. So it's going to have a core clock of 1304 megahertz, and it will boost all the way up to 1440 megahertz. That is compared to a stock speed of 1127 megahertz and 1216 boost. So it's pretty high overclock.
Yeah, it's a pretty significant jump.
Yeah.
To be stable out of the box, guaranteed. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the car's part of the Hall of Fame line, if you're familiar with that, from Galax or KFA2. Looks really great. Has a tri-fan cooler on it. Yeah, I can't really, you know, this, like I said, if this is if I was looking for a GTX 980, this would be one of the ones that I want. And you know the clocks are going to be stable and everything like that, because it is, you know, that is what the card's being released at.
Yeah, custom PCB with strong VRMs, probably more VRMs.
Yeah.
Dual 8 pins, dual BIOS with a physical switch on the backside. So that's going to be a good card.
Yeah, it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be one of the best performing GTX 980s out there. So again, if you're looking for a GTX 980, this one's going to be kind of hard to get because KFA2 is in Europe only, and then the Galax version is only in Asian, like, you know, over in Asia.
Right.
I forget what they call that, the actual technical term for that, the Asian territories, but so it'd be kind of hard to find. But if you can
just get a hold of your European friends from your favorite forum.
Yeah, I mean, you can order it from Overclockers UK and get it shipped to America, but that's going to be quite expensive. But again, a great GTX 980, definitely one of the top ones to get.
For sure.
So we'll talk about some more gaming news, and something that's kind of cool that I really haven't been on the bandwagon. I know a lot of people have with the Oculus Rift. I don't know. Virtual reality isn't a huge thing for me, but I know for a lot of people it really is. So they announced that one, that the actual consumer unit will be available in Q1 of 2016. And that they released their first kind of render. They call them images, but they're actually renders of the actual unit. So
what they want it to look like, at least.
So for a long time, we've seen the Oculus Rift, and they've had dev kits, you know, if you kind of wanted to mess around with the technology, but it wasn't a full consumer device. So this is the full consumer device that's going to be available in January. I'm assuming...
Of 2016.
Yeah, 2016. I'm assuming that we'll see this at CES, or it may even launch, have an official launch at CES,
awesome.
Just because CES is more consumer-focused show. And, of course, virtual reality is becoming a big thing for a lot of people. You know, AMD has their whole virtual reality initiative, and, of course, NVIDIA as well. So,
CES has kind of been, like, Oculus's thing, so... It would be awesome to show up this year and just have a giant booth or tent or something with just tons of stations of these. Because it took a really long wait to actually get to try this out at CES so far. And maybe with the consumer version, they'll have a lot more of them available, which would be really cool.
Yeah, you know, and I can't remember, but I think Oculus is owned by Facebook now. So they have the money to kind of have a really big presence at CES. Not that necessarily they need it, but you know, if you're launching your first real consumer product, which has had so much hype since it's come out, and a lot of people have really embraced it. So yeah, I think we're gonna see a big presence from Oculus at CES. But I'm pretty, you know, be excited. I've actually never used the Rift at all.
Yeah, several of our guys have, but that's because they were willing to wait in line for quite a while.
Yeah, so I can't hate on it that much because I haven't used it, right?
Yeah.
But once I'm
for me it's just that it's just still been a developer thing, so I don't really want to mess with something that doesn't work fully.
Yeah.
It's not fully developed.
Yeah, that is the big thing with it. But it will be interesting. Again, January is a very interesting time in the tech world because that's where a lot of things get announced. So yeah, pretty excited for that.
Should be cool.
Yes. We'll move on to a very cool mod that I've been following for a while now. it's called Brutal Doom, and it's actually a mod that kind of takes the original Doom and makes it modern. Not as much look-wise, But it kind of adds a lot of really cool things into the game. Last week we talked about it, and they released a new video this week that shows you have a blood amount configuration in the settings. And I didn't mention that the mod is called Brutal Doom, and of course it makes Doom even more gory and bloody than it already is. On top of making it more modern and everything like that. So the new video that came out shows the blood amount configuration, and you can make the game extremely, extremely bloody and gory. And of course, if you're having a rough day, you want to come home and you just want to kill things and have it be bloody and gory, this will be the kind of mod to do it with.
In an old school fashion.
Yeah, in an old school fashion. And Doom is just a fun game. I mean, I've played it so many different times, and it's just a fun game because you're just running around shooting and killing things. And of course, what better way to make it better by adding more blood and gore? And they've actually also in the mod they've added grenades, which kind of makes the game interesting, because obviously in the original game there were no grenades or anything like that. So yeah, I'm quite excited.
Change the tactical aspect of it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this, and it's kind of cool because the game, the mod's going to be coming out pretty soon, so I'm definitely going to get my hands on that when it comes out.
Yeah.
Quite excited.
Is it going to be a free mod, or is this a...
I'm not sure.
Probably it won't be expensive, I'm sure.
It won't be that expensive. If it's under $10, I'm getting it. I don't care.
Nice.
I just want to kill things. So, but we'll move on to kind of the big news of the week. There was a ton of AMD news this week. It's because they kind of had their financial analyst day. That's kind of where they talk about everything that's going to be going on in the upcoming quarter, in the upcoming year, and on to next year. So the big thing with that was that our first real story is that the new Zen Core, which is their new CPUs and APUs are going to be based off of, will have a 40% IPC increase over Excavator, which is what their current APUs and CPUs are based off of.
Right.
So this is kind of a big thing because,
that's a huge
jump.
That's
a huge jump.
Enormous jump.
Yeah, even coming from the previous... From
Bulldozer to Excavator was pretty good gain.
It wasn't a huge gain, so this is kind of a massive gain that you're going to see. So that just it makes it kind of interesting. And of course, if you don't know what IPC is, that's instructions per clock. So a 40% increase from what you have now to what's going to be
per cycle. That's
that's
a lot more work getting done.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how this new Zen Core actually performs. And one thing that's actually kind of cool that they also talked about was that they're going to unify the socket. So in 2016, when the new Zen CPUs and the Zen APUs come out, they're actually going to be all in the same socket, which is going to be called AM4. If you want to get an APU or a CPU, they'll fit in the same motherboard, which is kind of good, you know, because a lot of times all the power of just a plain CPU. They kind of want the APU with the built-in graphics, but maybe they want a motherboard that has certain features it's not offered in an APU kind of, you know, in the FM2, socket.
Yeah.
So with this, they're just unifying them both, so you can get a motherboard, it will fit an APU or a CPU.
Yeah, so now when you're shopping, essentially you can just go and pick out anything AM4 and it's going to work for your chip.
Hopefully. That's kind of the whole idea behind it. So again, I'm pretty excited for the Zen. I mean, 2016 is going to be a pretty big year for AMD. A lot of people are really excited because they've kind of went on the back burner even going from Bulldozer to Excavator, it wasn't a huge jump. And this new Zen Core is supposedly going to be a massive jump in performance and obviously efficiency as well.
Yeah, and AMD really needs some
especially
winning products, let's say.
Yeah, so I'm quite excited to, you know, get a look at these APUs as well as new FX series CPUs that are supposedly coming out in 2016.
Yeah, it should be good.
Yeah. So, and then we'll talk about the GPU side of things that they talked about. they're going to be doing 14 nanometer on their GPUs in 2016, which is really no surprise to anybody. One thing that's kind of funny about when they talked about it, when they gave their presentation, was they didn't necessarily mention 14 nanometer, but they did mention FinFET, which is the process.
It's on 14 nanometer.
Yeah, so we do know that that's what they're going to do. I mean, that's kind of what even on the NVIDIA side, everybody's going to be moving to 14 nanometer because you're getting the best yields from that. So we're going to be moving from 28 nanometer all the way down to 14 nanometer on both AMD
everybody NVIDIA will be side. Down there.
Yeah. But one thing that's pretty cool that they talked about was the new high bandwidth memory. That's a new type of memory that's going to be used, and the new AMD graphics cards that you'll see come out later this year. And one thing that's actually really cool is that the memory is going to be on the GPU package itself. So what that is going to do is that it's going to be allowed cards to be smaller and all of that.
Instead of having the chips spread out all around the board, you guys got them right on the die.
Yeah. So that was some really cool information that came out about the GPU side of things. And then also talking about the GPU side of things, AMD kind of announced their 300 series, the first cards in the 300 series. They announced the OEM ones for system builders. These are all rebrands. So this isn't anything from the 300 series that, you know, enthusiasts are really excited about. So these are all rebrands of current products.
You can get all of these right now if you really want.
Yeah, these are pretty much all rebrands with a boosted clock speed, possibly. The only one that's that I would say is the good rebrand is the R9 380, which is a rebrand of the R9 285. Yes.
Yeah.
So,
which is a new enough GPU to
That uses the Tonga silicon, so that has a lot of the new features, and it's more power efficient than anything else. All the other ones, just they're just typical rebrands. It's something you always see from AMD. So
still gonna run hot though.
Yeah, they're still gonna run hot. Since they're rebrands of older products, they can't do the AMD FreeSync. They can't decode 4K H.264 video.
No high bandwidth memory.
Yeah, none of that. So if you're waiting for a 300 series card, don't get any of these because they're not new. Yes. We'll see that on the 380X and the 390X.
If you're really price conscious, though, maybe you want to wait till these release because the old versions, like the 285 and the 265, they're all going to drop in price.
Yeah, they should drop in price just to get rid of the inventory. Yep. So, but again, these are OEM versions, so these are not offered as far as retail. Right. So we haven't had an announcement as far as retail versions of any of these yet. So you won't even be able to get these unless they come out with the retail versions, which I assume they should very soon, because the OEMs are here. And again, the reason they release the OEM cards is because the OEMs need something to sell their products. And a new 300 series card in writing sounds good. So that's kind of why these were announced.
To the uninformed, that's the current series, so that's the one I want.
Yeah. So, moving on from that, the one cool thing that we did see this week is we saw the first photos, or more or less renders, of the AMD R9 380X Liquid Cold Edition. So, when the R9 390X comes out, at least according to what we've heard, and all the rumors going on, there's going to be a water-cooled edition, and then there's going to be a typical normal air-cooled edition. Everybody's really excited for the water-cooled edition, and these renders kind of show us what it's really about. One thing that's really interesting about it, it's a very short card. Think of like the GTX 960. That's how short it is, and that's kind of weird for a higher-end card. We typically don't see that, but because of the high bandwidth memory and that AMD's implementation of it is actually placing the memory on the GPU die, that means that you can have a smaller PCB.
It's cool.
Yeah, so you're actually going to see a shorter card. And one thing about the water-cooled edition is that it's completely water-cooled, at least according to these renders. There's no fan on it. It's not a hybrid design. It's a full water block connected to a 120mm radiator. I'm pretty excited about it. I like the smaller card, and the reason for that is because, we see these mini ITX systems and all of that, so to put the highest performance card in that system without any clearance issues, of course, is going to be a really great thing.
Because, you're always limited. Either you have to get a special edition flagship card, or you have to settle for a much slower card in most ITX cases, because they're just not designed with large GPUs in mind. So if this is really how small it is, that's going to be really cool. And then, I mean, you've got your radiator with the pump and everything all built into it, and the block all in one, so that's going to be a pretty slick cooling design right there.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty good. Really excited. Again, these are only renders. This is not...
Right.
So we're not exactly sure...
We're not even positive this is actually it, right?
Yeah, we're not positive this is it. This is the first time we've seen this, though.
Right.
So, it's definitely something to get excited about. You kind of have to know that it's in the works. The 380X and 390X are expected to be announced around Computex, which makes sense.
I don't think they can wait too much longer.
Yeah. Also, one thing, the specifications of the card, or the supposed specifications of the card, have been leaked. So it's 4096 GCN 1.2 stream processors, 256 TMUs, 128 ROPs, in a 4096 bit wide high bandwidth memory interface, which the memory's going to be running at 1.25 gigahertz, which means it will offer a memory bandwidth of 640 gigabytes a second, which is pretty powerful. So again, the high bandwidth memory is the big thing about this card that everybody's, that's supposed to give you so much more performance than GDDR5.
Yeah. And hopefully it does, honestly. Even if you're an NVIDIA fan, you really want to pay attention to this and see how well it performs, because that is the future of GPU memory.
Yeah, so GPU's next generation is going to be using high bandwidth memory. AMD is the first one to adopt it, but everybody's going to be using it in the future when it comes to GPUs.
Yep.
So definitely a cool thing to see. If you haven't seen the pictures, go on the site and check out these pictures, because it's definitely a different looking flagship GPU for sure.
Yeah.
And then finally, we'll move back to NVIDIA. Last week we talked about, we had a little article on how to kind of improve the performance if you're using a GeForce card. The Shield streaming service, the actual service, that runs in the background,
was actually
running at all times, and that actually caused a 3-5% decrease in performance on NVIDIA if you're using an NVIDIA card,
specifically the lower end cards.
Yeah, specifically the lower end cards. So that could actually mean the difference between playable and unplayable, really. When it comes to a lot of games. So somebody actually discovered that you could just go into Windows Services and disable the service and set it to not start when your system turns on. And it's kind of set by default to turn on when Windows turns on, so you can kind of disable that. Yep. And NVIDIA was really proactive about this, and in a week or less than a week, they come out with a new version of the GeForce Experience where that service is turned off. So you really don't have to worry about it anymore. They've kind of fixed it. So
yep, which was good to see them respond that quickly.
Yeah, NVIDIA is always pretty good at responding. They have their own forums and everything where people talk about issues. So they're always really good to come out with fixes and everything. And this came out in like a week after it was discovered. So
yep.
So that kind of wraps up our news.
Cool.
Again, a lot of AMD news this week. But we'll move on to what we have coming up next week. Pretty excited for the motherboard, which is a limited edition motherboard that I've been reviewing for the past couple weeks. It is the Asus Sabertooth Z97 Mark S. And this is just pretty much the same motherboard as the Z97 Sabertooth, but this is the limited edition version. So the dust covers on the front are actually Arctic camo or white camo. And then they call it the tough fortifier. The metal plate on the back is all white. And the biggest thing about this is the PCB is all white. And there's only been like two companies in history to ever come out with a white motherboard. So it's really great to see Asus do this. White is a theme that we've seen kind of become so popular now. We have all white cases.
It's just a very elegant color.
Yeah, and like I said, we have all white cases. We have all white CPU coolers, all white power supplies. So it's just we haven't seen a white motherboard, and the white PCBs are very expensive to make, so that's probably why. But Asus said we're gonna do a limited edition. It's gonna be this. It's gonna be all white. It's gonna look great. So I'm really excited to check this out. Or well, I'm not excited.
Honestly, we've talked about this like three times now, and every time I look at this, I'm like, I need that board.
Yeah, it's such.
So I'm really excited for your review.
Yeah, it's such a great motherboard. And it's just really, really good. And again, like I said, the review is pretty much done by now, because cool. It's Sunday, not Friday. it's just a great overall board. And of course, with Asus, you have all these great features, great BIOS, great companion software, all of that together. Just looks good overall.
Yeah.
So definitely check. You know, we'll be have that next week. And then we have I'll be checking out a new SSD from OCZ. This is their Vector 180. It's their new flagship 2.5-inch solid-state drive. Should be great performance all around. Drive looks great as well. I like what OCZ does is they have these full kind of stickers that are on the top of the drive. So, you know, mm-hmm. the drives actually look cool. So if you have a case where you can actually display the drive, these actually look kind of cool.
Yeah, for sure.
It'd
be interesting to see this controller compared to the new controller that we've been seeing.
Yeah, so it would be interesting to see how this performs to all of the new SSDs that we've been taking a look at. One thing that's actually pretty cool about this is it does have a 5-year warranty. A lot of companies only offer a 3-year. So you do have the 5-year warranty, but kind of, you know, if you're paying an extra $10, might as well get the 5-year warranty or something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
And then I'll also be checking out the Rappu V-Pro V800 gaming keyboard. And this is Rappu's sort of like the Logitech of Europe. They're really popular over there, and their gaming line is called V-Pro, and the V800 I believe is their highest end gaming keyboard. So in this, the one thing that they don't really explain on the website, but I kind of had to do some research, is that it doesn't use Cherry MX mechanical switches. It uses the It uses the Kale switches. So it'll be interesting to see how well they perform and everything like that. But it looks like a good overall, keyboard.
We see the Kale switches a lot from European companies.
Yeah, you really can't go wrong with a mechanical keyboard in general. It takes a lot to really mess it up. So I'm pretty I'm pretty excited to check this out as well. I just kind of opened it the other day, and I'll be testing it all week. And then finally, I'll be taking a look at the Luxa 2 Lavi-L Bluetooth headphones. So I've kind of been working down the Luxa 2's headset stack. I started on the high end, and this is the lowest end type of Bluetooth headphones that they offer. These are more or less made for travel. They're made, they're smaller headphones too, so they're made to sit on your ears, not over your ears like a typical headset. Of course, they're Bluetooth, so they'll work with pretty much any device. They do have a little microphone on them, so you can actually use them to answer calls. But, you know, they're the lower end, the lower end spectrum of Bluetooth headphones.
From ThermalTank.
Yeah. So, I'm pretty excited to check those out as well. So that's pretty much what's coming next week. We might have some other stuff. I've been coming up with some ideas for some articles, but I haven't really set anything in stone yet. But at the end of each podcast, I've been trying to talk about something that that Derek and I have actually checked out this week. And one of the cool websites that I've actually been checking out for a while now is called Everyday Carry. So it's everydaycarry.com, all one word. And what it is, it's a website where people kind of show off the things they carry each day. Not like, I don't know what you want to call it. It's kind of like, you know, you have your phone, your wallet.
Yeah, everything you bring with your daily.
Yeah, a lot of people surprisingly carry knives with them. The different types of pens, and if you carry a camera around and things like that. So it's kind of cool. And what's actually really cool about it is when people show off what they carry, you can actually they show a picture, and you can actually go over and you can click on it, and a lot of times you can actually buy it on Amazon or get some more information about it. And another thing that's actually really cool about it is that when people submit their everyday carry, they tell the site what they actually do. So it's kind of cool. So one guy's like a network engineer, and he has a lot of different cool things for that. You know what I mean? Somebody who's a designer, you know, he has like an iPad and some other things with him, you know.
It's really cool to see like the corresponding things that you just they're these aren't like they're like tools for their work, but these are like they're things that they just need every day.
Yeah, one guy is a EMT and he obviously has his pager and you know, some other cool stuff. He has an EMS field guide that he carries with him all the time. You know, it's actually really, really cool to see just what people carry with them. And it gives you kind of an idea if you're maybe I'm looking for a new knife or a new, you know, watch or, you know, a lot of people share their wallets and things like that. Like, it kind of like gives you a cool idea, like, oh, what's that about? You know, maybe I'll add that to my everyday carry. And you can go ahead and you can see what they're, you know, what the product's all about. And a really cool thing too is they have some, you know, kind of more influential people show them what they carry each day on the site as well. It's a really good site. I really like it. I check it, you know, once a week to see kind of just to see some really cool things and maybe give me some ideas of things I want to put on maybe a wish list for myself and all of that. So very, very cool
Nice.
website. Did you do anything cool this week or check anything out?
I actually went and saw the new Avengers movie last
Is it
night.
good?
Avengers: Age of Ultron. It was good. It was better than the last ones, I thought.
Okay.
There's a lot of action. It's actually got some plot twists that you can't call out. So that's
Don't ruin
new.
it for me, 'cause
I
I'm probably gonna see
won't.
it this week. I hate going to the movies on the weekends, 'cause I hate kids.
Oh, yeah. It was terrible. Just. I don't like sitting by people, and you always have people sit by you, and
I hate kids. Like I have a true affinity for hating small children, and not small children. Like just the immature, like high school. Like I'm gonna
Oh,
talk
yeah.
during the movie and be on my phone the entire time, and all of that. They just ruin it, you know. So I'm thinking I'm probably gonna go by myself, and we have a Lowe's here, so I'm gonna get like a VIP ticket, nice comfy chair, and just relax and watch a movie by myself, and probably pig out on overpriced food.
Yeah, well, you can't go without
Yeah,
doing
I'll pay
that.
like $11 for my ticket and then $22 to eat.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think I can go with my wife for and pay less than like $50, so it's just how it is.
Yeah, but yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, it's definitely worth seeing. I think I would say see it in theater too,
There's
since that's
only
even
so
enough.
many movies that I like to see in the theater.
Yep.
One, because I don't like to sit by myself, and two, because like if I like to watch a lot of things at home because, you know, sometimes I don't have 2 hours to spend to watch a movie. You know, I can watch it in parts and things like that. But I'm trying to think the last I saw the new Fast and Furious in theater.
Oh, did
Yeah,
you?
that was a cool movie. I like that.
Nice.
But it's very but that's Avengers is one. I always like the I you know I like the Marvel movies. It's Marvel, right? Yeah, that's what I thought. I almost had a brain fart. But yeah, so it is a Marvel movie. I've liked all of them, and I like how they've intersected as well.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously stay after the credits because it's a Marvel movie.
Okay, there you go.
And there's a fun little bit there, but yeah, they're really like they're pulling everything together. Like it seemed like for a long time they were just dragging things out with each individual kind of series, you know? And that's good for people that are really into each character or comic, but like I'm like finally, yes, they're pulling everything together like from all sorts of different parts of their series, so or their comic books, so it's really cool. There's gonna be some really good fun movies coming up too.
Nice, nice. Well, I guess we'll wrap things up with that. Yeah. So as always, we will have a full show notes page on the website where you can actually listen to the podcast as well as get all of the links of everything that we talked about this week. So if we're talking about something and you want to check it out, you can easily go ahead and click on it and get to that either article, review, whatever it may be. And then also, if you are in the iTunes ecosystem, you can easily subscribe to our podcast on there. You just type in Think Computers, all one word. We should be the first thing that pops up. So you can easily subscribe that way. And as always, we always thank you guys for listening. And let us know if you have any feedback about the podcast, what you like, what you don't like. Go ahead and leave us some feedback. And I guess until
For
next week,
sure.
we'll catch you guys later.